Okay, hi everybody, and I've been away for a while. I think this is our 17th program for Letters on Occult Meditation. And, you know, there's been so many musical things in the beginning. I kind of welcome that. It gives me a chance to really think about things from that perspective. And here we're beginning a new section. I may not do a long program here. I just want to get started once again. It's been about a week, you know, so maybe something can be brought to you, even if a bit shorter. This is all about the group use of the word. And let me just kind of increase the size of this a little. And we're beginning on page 65. It's not a long section. I'll see where we are when we get there. In group formation, the effect of the word is intensified. Provided the groups are correctly constituted, you know, the right kind of people with similar purpose and shared objectives, or rendered null and void and neutralized should the groups contain undesirable elements. And that shows how much we may be affecting the groups we are in. We may lead to the inutility of the group, rendering a group null and void. But otherwise, you know, it's the same effect as group meditation. If the elements within, that is the meditators, the people within, are appropriate to the cause, appropriate to the goal, then we will have an intensified effect. Certain things, therefore, are to be ascertained before the word may be used with adequacy by a group. And I would think that in the Aquarian age, this is going to be more and more important. It already is among those esoteric students who realize from studying with DK the importance of the group. And to have that real group sense means that we have to shift away from the kind of self-centeredness of the initial Leo tendencies and move towards Aquarius. But I have, you know, seen many people who are narrow in their idealism and have strong Aquarius in their chart. So everything depends on how we use the particular energies with which we are endowed. Okay, so point A here, it is desirable that people on the same ray or on a complementary ray form a group. And I would say, you know, this has a lot to do with the soul ray. The personality ray here is less important. Soul ray is more important, because that tells us our real objectives. All kinds of personalities can have a similar soul objective, and maybe it will only enrich the group if that is the case. But when the soul ray points in a different direction, then there may be an issue of dissonance or disharmony, you know. So often the great pairs of opposites, rays one and two, work in different ways. And of course, each requires what the other has. So we do find some of the esoteric groups, as were in the Lucis Trust and Arcane School, prominent on Ray 2 and Ray 1, and quite a number of people on Ray 1 as well, learning important Ray 2 methods, because mostly, well, maybe all the time now, in the Tibetan groups, those who stick with it, if they have a Ray 1 soul, they do have a Ray 1 monad, and maybe it's the other way around, although there are very few Ray 1 monads at present, having advanced far enough to really be with this kind of work. I think they were the latest to individualize on our Earth globe. And so they will not have had sufficient time, I think, to be involved in this kind of work. Sometimes DK talks about the day of achievement. And for those who were individualized on the moonchain, and I think, you know, have largely a third ray component with subsidiary rays being under the jurisdiction of the third ray, their time of achievement is coming up very shortly. For those who are more along the 2-6 line and were individualized in Lemuria, unless, of course, there was very rapid progress by some, which in some cases there was, their time of individualization will be, or their time, excuse me, of achievement will be in the sixth root race impending. And we can just continue the idea that the first ray monads, or at least the Atlantean group, individualized the latest on our globe, will have the seventh root race, for some at least, as the time of achievement. So anyway, it's desirable that people on the same ray or complementary ray form a group, and we're looking largely at the soul ray. And B, it is desirable that the word be intoned on the same key or in part harmonic, i.e. in harmony with the major tone, which determines the key signature, as it's called in music. Now, you know, usually we're looking at the key of C or the key of A. A is the indigo note, and C is the red note. And many scales begin on C, and then the tone G is considered the fifth. You know, I've sung this for you before, so forgive me. Do, re, mi, fa, sol. Okay, that's the key of C. Sol is that note in relation to the key of C, but if we begin on an A, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. Okay. Do, okay. So that's, let's see. Yeah, that is a seventh. And DK sometimes talks about G representing the seventh. I think the, or is it do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do? It may be, let's see, the minor seventh, which is kind of an old nostalgic folk form. The mode involved there is takes us backward. In any case, the note is the same. The note is the G, but yes, it's the minor seventh. Tom, tom, or da 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 dum, and that's the fifth. So the note is the same, but the meaning in the scale is different depending on where we, you know, begin. What is our foundational note? Is it a C, the way Madame Blavatsky gives it? And to some extent, it's a note of Mars, a red note, or is it an A, which is usually considered to be an indigo note? So it is desirable that the word be intoned, and notice there is a musical quality to that, the word be intoned on the same key. Usually we say like in the same key, on the same key, okay, or in part harmonic. So, you know, what is harmonic to the G when we start on the note C? Do, re, mi, fa, sol, do, re, mi, sol, mi, sol. Those are harmonic notes. They fit together quite well without disturbance, or do, sol, do, sol. Those are harmonic notes. But if I was to give you this note, diadem, diadem, scales based upon those two notes would be non-harmonic. There would be a lot of clashes. So when this is done, the vibratory effect is far-reaching, and certain reactions will occur. So, you know, it's pretty clear that in the Pythagorean days, when DK was working so closely with Pythagoras, Master KH, in an earlier incarnation, that all of this music was necessary. And if he didn't know it before, and there's no way to tell whether he did or did not, he certainly picked it up then. And we have to at least have the idea of the major chord, which begins with the fundamental and ends with the monad, an octave higher. Do, mi, sol, do. Do, mi, sol, do. Using the falsetto up there so I don't blow the microphone here. So that is the chord that he frequently talks about, and we're working on one part or another of it, trying to tune it up. What results, therefore, when the word is correctly sounded by a group of people rightly intermingled? You know, of course, it kind of tells you that there is definitely wrong intermingling possible. And sometimes the third ray is bad at that. It, as the old commentary says, it threw together those who suited each other not. Something very close to that. The seventh ray would be much more careful, and also the second ray, but third ray does not have that refined technique that's needed when you try to bring together those whose notes are harmonious and not dissonant. Okay, so what happens then? When the word is correctly sounded by a group of people rightly intermingled. Now, just watch every word that DK uses. A word like intermingled is not a common word. Why does he use it? You know, and it has to do with the mutual effect upon each other of those who are placed within the same ring pass knot or context. So in the point A, a strong current is set up that reaches the disciple or the master responsible for the group, and which enables him to put the group on rapport with the brotherhood. The master of that particular ashram puts his group on rapport with the whole brotherhood, permitting the channel to be cleared for the transmission of the teaching. So that's one of the important things that happens. We really do have to straighten things out and clear the way, don't we? We have to do that. And if sound can do that, which rightly sounded can, then we have to learn the rules by which the sounding is to occur. So what is the result when the word is correctly sounded? What is the result? Clearing, that's for one. And a two-way current, master reaches the disciple reaches the master, and then the disciple the rapport with the entire hierarchy is enhanced for the disciple. And point B, a vacuum is created that corresponds somewhat to the vacuum that should exist between ego and the personality, but this time between a group and those on the inner side, those are the members of the ashram in question. I mean, the ashram to which the group is related. And the vacuum, of course, permits free passage and the kind of exchange that we are looking for. So often in the beginning, the higher of the pairs of opposites is cut off from the lower of the pairs of opposites. Now, some of that is supposed to be taken care of in the hall of learning, where the love petals are beginning to open and then finally do open, providing an entrance into the hall of wisdom. This whole idea of a vacuum and its relationship to transmission of the higher to the lower and of the lower to the higher is an important concept in technical esotericism. And then point C, if all conditions are right, you know, and we have this harmonious sounding, it likewise results in a linking of the egoic groups of the involved personalities, a stimulation of the causal bodies on the higher mental plane involved, and a linking of all three groups, the lower, the higher, and the brotherhood in a triangle for the transmission of force. So we have to make sure that conditions are right as much as may be possible, and where this, you know, DK tells us that the success of our work is going to depend very much on our choice of co-workers. And we can see how that choice relates to the harmonious relationship, ideally harmonious relationship, of those who are involved in the same group. So the linking of the egoic groups, maybe these involved personalities are in different kinds of egoic groups, and they are linked up because of the harmonious transmission between the group of personalities and the inner soul realm. And the causal bodies are stimulated, the egoic lotuses are flourishing because of this stimulation, and the personalities, the egoic groups, and the brotherhood are all related as they were not before, the lower, the higher, and the brotherhood in a triangle for the transmission of force. So what have we been looking at? The correct sounding by a group of people rightly intermingled, and the strong current is one factor that gets set up, and it's reciprocal. Master to disciples, disciples to master. Excuse me. And the vacuum is created. And it's not an exact correspondence, but it's pretty close to the vacuum that should exist to promote the interchange between ego and personality, or between the causal body, egoic lotus, and the personality. And then the linking of egoic groups and stimulation of the causal bodies, and a linking of all the groups actually involved in this. So these are actually very desirable results of taking the precaution to make sure that the groups that are sounding the sacred word are rightly constituted, rightly intermingled. We have to remember that DK is not idly telling us to do something, that something of a very spiritually productive nature is occurring. And point D, it has, it's quite a few points. So let's keep going here. It has a definite effect on the physical vehicles of the lower group of personalities. It intensifies the vibration of the emotional bodies, driving out counter vibration. We hear there's an exchange of matter. And of course, matter basically is vibration. Driving out counter vibration and swinging all into line with the higher rhythm. So here are the vehicles being strongly affected, and he begins by talking about the etheric, rather the physical vehicle, but of course the ethers are physical. And many of us could certainly use the driving out of the counter vibration in the emotional body, particularly. That's where so much of the trouble lies. You know, people say, well, the person is having mental problems, but that's very rarely accurate. It's usually emotional problems or problems in the realm of kama manas. So this results in equilibrium. It stimulates the lower mind, yet at the same time opens the connection with the higher mind, which higher entering in stabilizes the lower concrete mind. So the word is the vehicles here and bodies. They are affected and they are improved. So equilibrium and control from the higher level upon the lower level is managed. All this from the sounding of the word in the right manner within the properly constituted group, the members of which are properly intermingled. So, you know, the one thing about this book is it's so filled with illuminating technicalities that it encourages us to be really careful in how we proceed in the following of occult meditation. Okay, point E now. It attracts the attention of certain of the devas or angels whose work lies with the bodies of men and enables them to do that work with greater exactitude and make contacts that later will be of use. So, enhanced deva contacts, basically. And, you know, storing up the experience of that contact for still greater contact in the future when the relationship between men and devas is a pronounced factor. Okay, so the devas are coming into this. I'll just put it in red. And point F, it creates a protective shell around the group, which, though only temporary, leads to freedom from disturbance, enables the units of the group to work with greater ease and according to the law, and helps the inner teachers to find the line of least resistance betwixt themselves and those who seek their instruction. Now, this is not an obstructive shell. DK advises usually to use the sevenfold, well, what does he call it? I'll call it this, the sevenfold circle of love using the seven rays. That's what he usually advises because he wants to help us avoid inadvertently building the so-called theosophical shell of protection, you know, build a shell and protect yourself, but then at the same time you wall yourself off from others, which works against the unification, the loving, harmonious unification, which we are seeking to establish. So a temporary protective shell is here built. And it allows more precise work and easier access from the masters to the group. Third point, freedom from disturbance. And we all know that when meditating, the factor of disturbance is disturbing. The factor of disturbance interrupts so much that might be profitably pursued until we really learn how not to react to that which would normally upset or derail the inexperienced meditator. Then point G. Well, I guess there's 7 points, aren't there? It aids in the work of evolution. Infinitesimal that aid may be, yet every effort that leads to the free play of the law, that acts in any way on matter for its greater refining, that stimulates vibration and facilitates the contact between the higher and the lower, is an instrument in the hand of the Logos for the hastening of his plan. So basically, what can I say here, that a basic summary is given regarding the effect of the right group use of the word. Basically, it leads to the free play of the law. It acts on matter for refinement. It stimulates vibration and facilitates contact between the higher and the lower. So that's the summary, in a way, of what has been accomplished in these other points. So we get the idea that the right sounding of the sacred word by the group, by the rightly constituted group, will have far-reaching effects, even aiding evolution. Basically, setting up a strong current, creating a vacuum, linking egoic groups, and linking lower, higher, and then the brotherhood, having an effect, positive effect upon the personality vehicles, attracting the attention of certain devas or angels. I'll make that a little bigger. And point F creates a protective shell around the group. I wish I could get that indigo looking a little less dense. And then finally, aids in the work of evolution. However small that aid may be, it is something. And if enough people work in that way, then okay, there's going to be a noticeable effect. I have, what does he say here? Yeah. I have here touched upon certain effects incident upon the chanting of the word in unison. That's what this is all about. And, you know, I'm sure you've had the experience of wondering, oh my goodness, what a sound is created when people try to say the sacred word or chant the sacred word together. The pitch is not correct. Many pitches occur simultaneously that are not harmonic, and the quality of the tone is not very good. You know, we have a lot to do with tuning up this chanting of the word. And when a group really has a euphonious chanting of the word, then we do, you know, we may be able to infer that some type of integration has occurred and effects that are farther reaching than normal may be in process. We just have to listen carefully to the sounding of the word and somehow try to pick the right pitch, really. Now, of course, we can't pick the pitch of our soul. If the soul rays are inclined to be dissonant, there's nothing we can do about that. But at least suppose we have a group where the soul rays are harmonious or even identical. Then the sounding of that note should be sounded in beauty and with a good tone quality, not always possible, but people have to learn how to use the voice so that it attunes to a certain pitch of music. And if we can't do that, well, let's just practice until we improve. Later, as the rules of occult meditation are understood and experimentally applied, these effects will be studied. So we're still, you know, a long way from being able to make these statements by the Tibetan realities for ourselves. But the time will come, and many subtle energies will be studied during the age of Aquarius. The major ruler, Uranus, has so much to do with subtle energies. As the race becomes more clairvoyant, they will also be tabulated and checked the effects will be tabulated. And, you know, we have basically a very strong fifth ray coming in with Aquarius. It is a ray transmitted through that constellation, but it's also the ray of humanity during the human personality during the age of Aquarius, the fifth ray personality. So a lot that was simply based upon belief will be transferred into the realm of knowledge. The geometrical forms created by the individual, remember how every life shows a certain geometrical form and how they are rather irregular and not very attractive in the beginning, and how they tend towards greater regularity and beauty as we move on in our development. So the geometrical forms created by the individual and by the group in sounding the word, and some of these forms we have seen through the work of Hans Selvier with the tone and the metallic plates and the powder. I think there are books out on the subject where we see the geometry created by the sounding of the Om. So the geometrical forms created by the individual and by the group in sounding the word will be recorded and noted. Recorded, I mean, you know, probably noted and jotted down. I don't know if that is meant to be kind of tape recorded or recorded in some electronic way. I'm not sure that such inventions existed at the time of this writing. Well, there were talkies, you know. The talkie movie came out in the late 20s. Of all things, I think a movie called The Jazz Singer. But, you know, the most of what we had there was silent film. So recorded meant something different, perhaps. The elimination of individuals from different groups and their assignment to other groups more suitable will be affected by judicious consideration of the work done by them. And that makes a lot of sense because, you know, according to the law of attraction and repulsion, you have to be in the correct group in order to have a harmonic relationship with the basic constituent units of the group. And, you know, at present, when there is a group discord, you can oftentimes find it in, you know, the constituents, one or two of them, or whatever, depends on how big the group is, that they don't really resonate with the others and they don't really resonate with the purpose. On the other hand, one is sometimes in a group where the soul rays are the same or in some way complementary, and then you feel that too, and not too much adjustment has to be made. Later, as individuals develop the higher consciousness, wardens of groups must be chosen. Those are watchers, I guess, not only for their spiritual attainments and their intellectual capacity, but for their ability to see with the inner vision, you know, and a lot of this will necessitate causal consciousness, and hence assist their members and group to rightful plans and to and for correct development. So these are, you know, what should we say, keepers. Whoopsie. And overseers equipped properly. Well, so many developments. You can imagine the complexity of the divine plan looked ahead, or as a result of looking ahead 2,000 years. Many, many things that Master DK can't really discuss are probably in the plans of those who foresee how the Aquarian Age should affect humanity, how humanity should develop during that Aquarian Age. But unless certain discoveries are made or made patent to the observation of the human being right here on the physical plane, then discussing those eventualities would not make a whole lot of sense. So much then necessarily is being withheld. Well, I think, you know, friends, I always like a rounded off duration for these programs, but it's not really possible. DK gets into an entirely new subject, which has much bearing upon the seed group work, the 10 seed groups. You know, there are various places where he mentions the 10 seed groups. And then here in Letters on Occult Meditation, he mentions groups that sometimes may be a seed group or may be related and supplementary or additional to the seed groups. And that's the subject we are about to enter. And so I do hesitate to begin anything new right now, even though we haven't used the entire hour. So this, I always want to know where I am, however, and frequently, without the help of my communications team that keeps things on an even keel, I sometimes forget. So this is, you know, the end of program 17. And basically, we've gone from 65 to 67, and it took place on the 8th of August. And I think that's all we have to worry about in that one. And then program number 18 will be coming up. And from page 67, and we'll see, it will be August though, and we'll see when it takes place. Hopefully tomorrow. I oftentimes get a chance to muse a little bit, you know, after finishing a section. And, you know, just very grateful for this incredible teaching that Master DK has communicated to us, even though he regards it as simply the ABCs of occultism. And I'm sure we'll, you know, we saw how much more he gave during the Alice Bailey period than was included in the Theosophical work. Just subjects were expanded and with meticulousness, meticulous semi-entirety. DK would say, look, to you it looks meticulous, but to me it's not really meticulous at all. How often has he said, oh, I could write many volumes on X, Y, or Z. And I'm sure he means it. But then the law of economy has to enter, and within the time-space schedule of the planetary logos, only certain manifestations are possible, given the tempo of manifestation at the present time. There will be a tightening spiral in regard to manifestation, and things will speed up. But right now we have to be realistic about what is the tempo, what is the tempo of manifestation. And then within the time allotted, register and retain and apply as much as may be possible. Because, you know, it makes so much sense. He's around the year 2025, and maybe in that year, he's going to start the new teaching, the bridging treatises. Now, he's already given us more than we can ever absorb, even in the secret doctrine, as he was advising Blavatsky. And certainly in the Alice Bailey work, he said, I've given you more than you can ever absorb. Yet we know that the more we can absorb, discounting the ill effects of just excessive accumulation, the more we can absorb and somehow communicate and teach and apply in service, the greater will be our foundation for the new set of bridging treatises. Really, who knows what he will give, but you know, there, the fourth fundamental of the secret doctrine, you begin to wonder whether somehow cosmic fire itself does not exemplify that. You know, it's as if we're looking everywhere for the fourth fundamental and to express it in some terms that are succinct, like the first three fundamentals. But it may be that in this great psychological treatise, a treatise on cosmic fire, where the which is in a sense the psychological key to the secret doctrine, whether that's not it. I mean, maybe that is it, and maybe we have to boil it down into some kind of mantra that carries the main idea. You know, there is a boundless, immutable principle. Okay. There is a law of periodicity. I'm just abbreviating. And all souls are one with the Oversoul. Very short, succinct statements, and maybe if we study cosmic fire, which, you know, we're doing now as much in depth as we can, I've given you a lot of written commentary on cosmic fire, and the last 100 pages or so spoken commentary. Maybe out of the cosmic fire book, almost 1,300 pages, something can be boiled down, which will stand as the fourth fundamental of the secret doctrine. He did give the hint that it does involve psychology, and he did come forward with the ray science and esoteric astrology science and, well, the creative hierarchies in some detail, which was not found in Theosophy, not in any where near such a clear presentation. So one of the methods of blinding is to give you what you're searching for without telling you this is what you're searching for, and then you have to wake up to the fact that it's been right under your nose all this time. Because I think it would take a great initiate like Master DK to formulate accurately the fourth fundamental of the secret doctrine. So the days pass, and we have a choice regarding how we will spend our time. There are many, you know, Saturnian service things that we must perform, even as Sanat Kumara holds his position, sacrificially so, until the last weary pilgrim finds his way home, you know, of the weary pilgrims for whom it is indicated that they can, in this cycle, find their way home. And we imitate that somewhat. You know, we use the planet of opportunity, Saturn, to keep watch over the sacrifice that we are making as we keep the foundation steady. and not race ahead too fast, lest we be guilty of superficial progress, which will not abide. And it may be gratifying for a short time, but it will not hold. Our work together will span centuries. I don't think that any of us is looking for a quick exit from the duties of the Aquarian Age. We have 2,000 years in, or a bit more, in which the Christ will be the great and present teacher and the initiator for probationary initiates of the first and second degree. And, you know, we're not trying to get out of the stream of obligation. Who knows how many incarnations we may experience as we seek to serve the hierarchy and the Christ, always better, more powerfully, more effectively during these years. If the curve for the Piscean Age kind of went like this, you know, then the Aquarian Age is really going to go along the y-axis pretty high. We're going to accomplish a lot in a short period of time, and it will be the compensation for mistakes that were made on the moon chain. The hierarchical ruler of Aquarius is the moon. And we have a lot to regenerate that was mistakenly pursued on that chain. And so many of the people who have individualized on that moon chain, they have been transferred into this chain where they can correct a form of behavior and thought that led to a kind of lunar madness, you know, the, as Blavatsky says, the divine lunatic. And we have that in our, you know, literature, and can probably even prove that. Now we have another chance, and we can redeem what went on earlier if we study the laws of occultism very carefully, because they are given with care, and apply them as members of the new group of world servers, we can make up for the lost time that held us back from coming anywhere close to the spiritual status of Venus. And we should be sharing that status, and we're not. So this is going to put tremendous pressure upon you and upon me and upon all who really care that the plan received by the hierarchy really manifests as it should be. And every little thing counts. Every external action and every internal state. It all counts. And if we're going to be like the masters, we're going to see that the responsibility is not just an intermittent thing, it is ongoing with continuity. So we're being trained to work continuously in the coming age, once we, you know, wake up again after being reincarnated, to work continuously towards the manifestation of a plan which is developing throughout the Aquarian Age, until really humanity in large numbers can be said to have entered the fifth kingdom of nature, the kingdom of souls, and the number of first degree initiates will be considerable. Okay, friends, well, you know, at least today I was able to do a little bit more. And I hope in the coming days to plow on. So all the best to you. Lots of love, many blessings from Tuya and myself and from the whole communications team. We'll just keep the esoteric, the spiritually occult thought, we'll keep it circulating to feed the consciousness with truth rather than with the fabrications of the rigid concrete mind. Okay, this will be on Makara before long, and then it will be on YouTube as well. Take care and bye-bye for now.